Your speaker for today is John Grubb.
We're so thankful that you have joined us as we discuss the plea of Churches of Christ. The last time we were together, we talked about no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. We'll begin by discussing no church but the Lord's. The Lord's church is neither a Catholic body, a Protestant denomination, or a Jewish synagogue. The Lord's church is not Roman Catholic. Roman Catholicism did not even come into existence in a full-grown state until almost 600 years after Jesus' church began. The Lord's church was established about A.D. 30, on the first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead. He prophesied concerning this, and then the Bible records its beginning. Mark 9 and verse 1, "And Jesus said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God present with power." And then in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Then in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, the Bible says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues or languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then in verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." On that day of Pentecost, the apostles received the power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without error. And it was on that day, in about A.D. 30, that the church Jesus built began. All of the major doctrines of the Catholic Church contradict the Scriptures. That church teaches the worship of Mary, Peter as Pope, transubstantiation, purgatory, and many other doctrines. The Lord's Church does not teach any of these doctrines because the Lord's Church only teaches what the Bible teaches. And you do not read of those doctrines in the New Testament. Then the Lord's Church is not a Protestant denomination. Denominations came into existence hundreds of years after the church began, after the Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. Their doctrines differ from the Lord's church in worship, in organization, in plan of salvation, and in so many areas. When we discussed basic facts of the faith on our program, we noted what the Lord's church does and how we can identify that church. We identify the church Jesus built by the characteristics that we read in the New Testament. Further, the Lord's church is not a Jewish religion or part of the Jewish religion. Let's note some scriptures together. We first note Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren? For I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law, that is, the law of Moses, through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Paul later adds, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. You see, the Jews and the Gentiles were separated by the law of Moses. It kept them separate so that God could protect the seed, that is Christ, who would come into the world. But when Christ died on the cross, that law was set aside. It was abolished so that the two, both Jew and Gentile, might be reconciled in one body. And that body, of course, is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul continues in Colossians 2 saying, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. The church Jesus built is not part of the Jewish religion. It is not a Jewish synagogue, nor is it a Protestant denomination or some kind of Roman Catholic or some other kind of Catholic church. It is the church that Jesus built. What are some of the characteristics of the Lord's church? First of all, we need to understand there is only one church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Paul says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is the head of his church, and the church is his body. How many heads does a normal body have? Just one. How many bodies does a normal head have? Just one. Christ is the only head of his body, which is the church. How many bodies? Just one. Paul adds in Ephesians 4, 3 through 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says there is one body. We just learned that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In order to be saved, we have to be in this body. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Where are the saved? They're in the body. What is the body? It is the church. How many bodies are there? Just one. Because Christ is the only head of His only body, the church. This church that Jesus built has Christ as its founder and foundation. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, this is a passage of Scripture that we look at quite a bit on this program, because it talks about the church that Jesus promised to build and that He built those many years ago. He says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Yes, Jesus promised to build His church. He is the founder of His church, that one church that He promised to build. Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Yes, this church Jesus founded began in the first century in the city of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 and 14 tell us, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." In verse 14, Peter began his sermon, standing up with the 11, raising his voice and saying to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." No church but the Lord's church. How many did He build? Just one. There are thousands in existence today with different characteristics, with different doctrines and teachings. But there's only one that Jesus approves. It is the church that He promised to build and that He built in the long ago. Also involved in the plea of churches of Christ is no worship but the authorized. To offer worship that is not authorized is fatal. For example, we think of the worship of Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 8, the Bible says, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And so Cain offered a sacrifice to God. He offered worship to God. Abel also offered worship to God. Cain's was not accepted because his worship was worship not authorized by God. Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Hebrews 11, verse 4. God told them what to do to worship him acceptably. Because Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God told them what kind of worship he desired. Abel, by faith, did that. Cain did not. We think of Nadab and Abihu as mentioned in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu were sons of Aaron. They were priests. They had the authority to worship, but they used fire which God did not command them to use. They used unauthorized fires. In both cases, the results were tragic. Cain killed his brother. Nadab and Abihu were killed by God. What we do in worship must be in keeping with the Bible. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4, verse 24. What does the Bible authorize in worship? It authorizes singing. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, 16 adds, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is authorized. Instrumental music is not authorized. Prayer is also authorized. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. We know the church in the first century prayed because when Peter was in prison, the Bible says constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. In the church, in worship, teaching or preaching is authorized. Acts 2:42 tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that is, to partake of the Lord's Supper, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Teaching or preaching is authorized in our worship to God. The Lord's Supper and the partaking of the Lord's Supper is authorized in worship. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29 records Jesus setting up the Lord's Supper. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Jesus commanded his disciples to partake of the Lord's Supper. When did they do that? Acts 20, verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." On that first Pentecost, when the church began, the church partook of the Lord's Supper, Acts 2 and verse 42. Also, we're commanded to give of our means on the first day of the week to support the work of the church. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Yes, these are the things that are authorized in worship. Concerning worship, nowhere does the Bible authorize mechanical instruments of music in our worship. It does not authorize the burning of incense, feet washing, or the observance of the Lord's Supper on Thursday or on a monthly or yearly basis. How can we worship God as He has commanded if we do not assemble with the saints? Hebrews 10:25 teaches, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." If we want to worship the way the Lord wants us to worship, we can only worship what He has given us authority to do. Our worship must be in keeping with His will in order to be pleasing unto Him. And that is part of the plea of churches of Christ. We're pleading that people worship the way the New Testament teaches. Not just because it may sound good to our ear, or it's very pleasing to us, or somebody is very talented in what they do, but what does the Bible authorize? We love to go out and eat good food, but that does not give us the authority to take that same good food that we like to eat at home or in a restaurant and put it on the Lord's table and replace the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. We must worship according to the teachings of the Bible. No church but the Lord's. No worship except that which is authorized.